Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I want to invite you to join me each week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing today's entrepreneur and small business owner right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you for being on board and listening today. Now, I'm about to introduce you to one of the hardest working broadcasters in the business today. And he is Fox & Friends' own Brian Kilmeade, who is on the air for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week since 2006. And yet that doesn't stop him from sharing even more of his time to come on board the Profit Express today. And after Fox & Friends, he hosts Kilmeade & Friends, his own nationally syndicated radio show on Fox News Talk. Brian has written 3 books. Two of which are New York Times bestsellers. And they are The Games Do Count, It's How You Play the Game, and George Washington's Secret Six, co-written with Don Yeager. Now, today we're going to talk to Brian about his fourth and latest book, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, The Forgotten War That Changed American History, which was also co-authored with Don Yeager. Now, Brian is here as a very enthusiastic American who has a passion for the war on terror. And he's here to tell you a story that you and all Americans, we need to know. Now, America was just a year old as a nation without a president and without a constitution facing our first crisis. And it was Thomas Jefferson's response to terrorism in 1800 that helped change American history. Now, as I read the book, I found a number of striking parallels to America's conflict with the same region and terrorists that we are facing today. So this is a book, again, you got to read. Americans need to read this book. You need to know this story. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard fellow Long Islander, former funny man, and the hardest working man in broadcasting today, Brian Kilmeade. How are you, Brian?
Good, good. But I still haven't lost my sense of humor. So even though I'm doing the war on terror stuff and focusing on Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, and did George Washington's Secret Six, which is right in our neighborhood, took place right here all those years ago. We never studied it in school for some mysterious reason. With Jefferson, I went to them. I went to Virginia. I went to the area. And I was just astounded by this story that almost nobody knows.
It truly is amazing. So let me ask you again, thanks for joining us today. You report, obviously, every day on Fox and Friends on Washington's current tactics and strategies on the fight against ISIS in the Middle East. How does today's strategy and today's leaders compare to what you found out from what John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were doing?
Well, look, I'm not a graduate of a military war college, but there are some basic things that I think that people can look at what Thomas Jefferson was decided to confront, what John Adams decided to avoid, what Washington wasn't able to take on, and before we actually had a president, they were stealing our guys. We had merchant ships going through the Mediterranean. We were desperate to prove to everyone we could be a country. And the way to do that is not to be a military power in our minds. It was to be an economic power. So let's get out of debt. Mm. What can we do as Americans? We can work our way out of it. So with all the products we have, from tea to tobacco to the iron and everything else that comes out of our country, our natural resources,
sure,
and our ingenuity and our ability to survive, we started doing it. And we absolutely needed the Mediterranean. 1/6 of all our trade went through there. Well, sure enough, by 1785, these merchant ships weren't coming back, and word came, because mm-hmm. communication was not mm-hmm. like the same it is today, that these guys were taken hostage off their merchant ships without any protection. The cargo was plundered, the ships were taken, and not only were the guys imprisoned, they were worked as slaves. So, yeah. Horrified, America recoiled, much like we did with Iran in 1979 when our guys were taken. We said, what do we need to get these guys back? So what do? You dispatch Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin to work on this problem. And you let them know, we don't have a problem with you. We have no rivals. You have a problem with England, France, Spain. It's not our problem. Well, they go, you're a bunch of Christians. Well, yeah, well, a lot of us are Christians, but we're somebody with freedom of religion. We also have Muslims. So we try to explain, and you read the letters, and you see how we're trying to rationalize. Finally, John Adams goes to the ambassador of Tripoli. These are four nations that we're dealing with. It is Tripoli, we know it as Libya, mm-hmm. Tunis, we know it as Tunisia, Algiers, we know it as Algeria, and Morocco. So we said, guys, we can talk our way out of this. And at first, it was very amiable, and they were getting along, and Adams is writing back, I'm going to be able to do a deal with these guys. And they said, you know, basically, you are a infidel, and we believe that since you are, the only way you can pass through our international waters, that's my word, not theirs, is to pay. So, yeah, you'll be an infidel, but we'll also accept money. And that prompted one of our guys who was held hostage to say, Islam is their religion, but money is their God.
Right, right.
And they wanted us to pay three times as much as any other nation, which was almost impossible. So we had to actually write checks. So Adams walks out and says, we're not going to fight these guys unless we want to fight them forever, which is true. Have
yes.
you met them as Islamic extremists? You think Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's ready to throw in the towel at Gitmo? Absolutely not. You think bin Laden was ready to quit? Absolutely not. You had to kill him. So basically, they said, so Adam says, we're not going to fight these guys. America does not have the stomach for a long war, which is still true. Who does? But we don't. And, unless you're Vladimir Putin and you can just force your way into power. So what we said is we should just pay the tribute, which is really extortion. And Jefferson says, man, we have to stand up to them. We're Americans. And if the price is only going to get up, and they're going to start taking our ships again. You mark my words. Well, sure enough, it started happening. And then we lost, in the end, by 1815, in total, 35 ships and 700 guys. So you can imagine how much money this cost and how much stress it put on the American people. We found newspaper articles where they were writing about it. Who's going to do something? Finally, Washington becomes president.
Right.
And he says, hey, my Secretary of State, Thomas Jefferson, do a report on me on what our options are. And the options that Jefferson drew, but he let Washington conclude, was to fight. Well, Washington goes, we don't have an efficient navy, but I'll build the ships, but I'll pay the money for now. At that point, it was 20% of our GDP. I know
mm-hmm.
you're a financial show.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. 20% to extortion.
Right, right.
After a while, we couldn't even insure the ships because they didn't believe they weren't going to be taken. So by the time our navy's ready, Adams wants to use it elsewhere. When Jefferson takes over, he wants to use it against them. He refuses to make the payments, Tripoli declares war, and we have our first foreign enemy.
Now, Brian, what I find so amazing, most of Europe, they decide to write checks to buy the peace.
Yeah.
America, as we're just discussing now, of course, more with Jefferson than Adams, they decide to build the Navy and to fight back. Why was that decision so critical to a young America?
Well, I mean, we have to get with the world's respect, just like the new kid who comes into school. The world wants us to fail. These are all dictatorships. These are all kings and queens. If you have an elected official like George Washington who wins a war and leaves, doesn't want office, if you have Washington who finally takes office and then leaves willingly, what are the signal of the Spanish people, the French people, the British people going to get? Why aren't we doing that? Why do they get to elect people? Why do they have representative democracy? Why do they have freedom of speech? So the world wants us to fail, and we have to show we're tough enough to survive. What I didn't know until I started researching Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates is there was sense in our country that a rematch with Britain was inevitable. And they were taking our ships, and they were harassing us at sea, and they were in the middle of a war with France. And we kept wanting to put that war off until our navy and military and our economy was strong enough to be successful. And in doing that, he didn't want to get gummed up. And I can appreciate Adams' point of view in putting resources into the Barbary Wars against these barbaric pirates. However, we actually, in retrospect, needed the training against them to be so formidable in 1812. And it took a while. And again, Jefferson didn't get permission from Congress, and he sends over the ships, and they try to suffocate the harbor and suffocate their economy, and it doesn't work. There's no coordination. The corsairs and the pirates knew the venues and ways better, and they were able to get through. And there was frustration. Finally, we get congressional approval, and the Wright generals in charge, and Edward Preble and Stephen Decatur and William Eaton on the ground took it to these guys and ultimately got victory and stood up to them. And to the point where then the Pope at the time, his name was Pope Pius, said Stephen Decatur and Edward Preble have done more in their short time for Christianity than all the other nations combined in their existence. And think about that. We're 10 years old, and we're also telling everybody we're different.
Folks, it's the Prophet Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Today, Brian Kilmeade is joining us from Fox and Friends, of course, and we're discussing his latest book, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, The Forgotten War That Changed American History. Now, Brian, it was both Jefferson and William Eaton, who was at the time the U.S. Consul General to Tunisia today. They felt that paying this ransom was a blemish on American honor. Do you think today's leaders have lost that same sense of pride in dealing with the terrorists?
I think you bring up a good point. There's no way I don't think that Barack Obama is a strong guy who cares about the country. I think he's a guy who says, wow, America's really sick of these Middle East wars. I'm not going to get him into it. I walk through Bethesda and I see Walter Reed, and I don't want Americans to do that, and I understand that. But I also know so many military people, and I also saw the rifts right now between the Pentagon and the White House. By putting off war, that's all we're doing is putting off war. We're not avoiding it, we're putting it off. And the enemy gets stronger every day,
yes.
And we don't.
Yes.
And we have taken down our army, taken down the numbers, taken down the number of weapons we have, and we're starting to lose our stomach for this whole thing. As all our victories and all our gains in Afghanistan and Iraq dissipate, we're watching the Russians step into our vacuum. Now, you might say, wow, that President Obama is really cares about our military because he's keeping them out of harm's way. Really? No, you're keeping this generation out of the harm's way. You're making things hellacious for the next generation.
Yes, even harder. Even Cuba's getting involved over with Russians.
How embarrassing is this?
Yeah.
And we're dealing with Cuba, Iran, and Hezbollah. And you want us to sleep well at night? And you think America's heading in the right direction? Absolutely not. So that's what the ISIS threat is. Are this Islamic pirates of their day. And every day they're allowed to solidify their economy, they're mm-hmm. allowed to get their export business, their judicial system set up, is another day in which they're going to be harder to dislodge.
Each day is a victory. Now, Brian, let me ask you, obviously, so many of us, the listeners of the Prophet Express, we're focused on 2016 and what's coming up, obviously. From where you're sitting and all the interviews you folks are doing at Fox and Friends, from your perspective, which presidential candidate do you think has what it takes, the mettle, the courage to take on terror in the Middle East today?
Well, I mean, the guy that makes the most sense internationally is the guy getting 0%. He's Lindsey Graham, so he's not going to win.
Hmm.
But the guy that scares me the most is internationally, after it's found to have a bomb, tragically, on that Egyptian plane, Donald Trump came out and we got to wipe these guys out, ISIS. Until before that, he was just saying, leave them alone. You know, we caused the problem. George Bush is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a scary approach, and I thought that was irresponsible. Ben Carson, I don't really know what his foreign policy is for sure. I think he's a little bit more aggressive. I would like to see more.
Mm.
As we run down a list, I think Governor Christie makes me feel pretty good that he understands the threat. He's definitely, as a governor of New Jersey, saw 9/11 up close and personal.
Yeah, but
can he
translate on the national scene, though?
Christie? I think it would. I think we know his character. He's the type of guy that will take on an enemy.
True, true.
And you know, a lot of these governors, you know, they don't have international experience, but they know how to run a state, which leads perfect in many ways. Their leadership ability is something that lends to it. I can go up and down. I would take anybody on the first stage tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Fox Business Network, and the second stage at 9 o'clock, and I'd feel pretty good. Trump scares me, but I would like to see somebody around him who didn't scare me.
To kind of temper his bravado, right.
Yeah, but his bravado is George Bush is wrong, and we should never bomb Iraq. That's not a strategy.
Right. It's going to be very interesting. Brian, and again, today's guest, Brian Kilmeade, talking about his fourth and latest book, soon to be a bestseller. I've read his great book, by the way. Great read, Brian.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates.
We'll find out Tuesday if it's a bestseller. And it's gotten off to a tremendous start. It's been in Amazon's top 10 all week and had a big weekend in McLean. But very important, I come back to Long Island for my only stop Tuesday at 7 at the book review.
Up in Huntington, New York. And I got to thank you. I was in Orlando International Airport Friday. Quick story, sitting down. There's a guy across from me having lunch. Your book. He was reading your book. We start talking. I say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be interviewing Brian. And you almost made me a quasi-celebrity at that moment. He's so impressed I was talking to you.
Wow.
So you had fans out in the Orlando airport. Last quick question. It's a war that's been forgotten by most Americans. What do you hope Americans take away from your book?
Another reason for pride. It goes to show we start a war. Everything's not rolling perfect. We don't have the best tactics. We don't have the country behind us. But in the end, we make the adjustments. We get the best leader in charge. And as long as there's people in our country like Edward Preble, Stephen Decatur, and William Eaton, then you'll understand why the country is exceptional. When someone says, well, you just think your country's exceptional because you were born there, wrong. When you read the history like George Washington's Secret Six, average everyday Americans doing extraordinary things, and then when you see what these guys were able to do in their short time in existence when people didn't want us to exist anymore, and we fought our way through against enemies the rest of the world cowered in front of, then you realize we're exceptional in every way, and it's not just because we're the home team.
Brian, I love your passion for the topic, of course, of the book. Thank you so much for being on board today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. My pleasure. And again, that was Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends discussing his fourth and latest book, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, right here on the Prophet Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU.